Glory to God forever and ever. Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, we are so grateful to be yours, just to be your child. And wonderful Jesus, reveal yourself as only you can. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you are God. We welcome you. Man was born to fellowship with God. His glory is infinity on the 1 to 10 scale. Infinity. Like billion, billion, trillion, 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 trillion. This is what man was born to do. And everyone who makes it to heaven will fellowship with him forever. Amen. That heaven is filled with the glorious splendor of his majesty. Incredibly, Jesus offers and God offers himself, his presence, his glory to every person on the earth. In fact, one of the very first things that we have recorded that Jesus said, it's famous in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit is spiritual beggar, someone who's spiritually hungry and who's humble. They have spiritual poverty. They're wanting spiritual fulfillment. Happy is that person because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Glory to God. What God offers to every person, and in this most holy faith, is beyond comprehension. So wonderful, it will take all eternity to comprehend what he offers and to understand. And the greatest thing is himself, his presence, his glory, his majesty, literally the Lord himself, the only true God. And that's why it's all about Jesus Christ, because God offers himself through Jesus Christ, who so wonderful, so awesome. And that's why in these recent messages I've been wanting to make this analogy. We as humans have all kinds of objections and misconceptions and misperceptions, and they're all, and we might call them complaints, you know, things that, and they're all very, very minor details, because his presence and glory is infinity on that scale. It is so wonderful, he's beyond human words. So sad and ironic and tragic that most people choose self instead of God. It's explained in the Bible. The human heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. The human heart, there's a way that seems right to a man, and in the end it leads to death. That's reveals, you know, sheds some light on how can it be that people choose self instead of God. And tragically, I have to say it, it's a privilege to say it, they miss heaven, the glory of heaven, and they end up in hell, which is the eternal fire, literally the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. People don't want to hear that, do they? It's not a popular topic. It's one of the biggest objections from all of those people who are unsaved. You know, if you really look at a lot of their objections, it does come down to self-will. But their objections practically are, how could God allow suffering? How could there be so much suffering in the world? You're saying that God is loving and powerful, all-powerful, and yet there's all this suffering. And that suffering, that would include hell. If they hear the reality of what Jesus said about hell and what the Bible reveals about hell, they would adamantly, very forcefully, hostily object. And it comes under that heading of how could God allow there to be a hell and people to go there? And let me say, God doesn't send anyone to hell. Someone chooses. Every person has choice. Every person's action, everything a person does on the earth reveals that they have choice. That's a pretty powerful statement. But I believe that that's true. And the central choice, the main choice, is between God and self. Very simple. It's a choice that we make once and every day. Amen. We have the privilege. Choose you this day whom you will serve. That one verse that's a very famous verse has incredible eternal truth and revelation in it. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Isn't that amazing? The patriarchs of the faith, at the very end of their life, every day they get to choose to serve Him. Billy Graham, when he was 80, 90 years old, every day, privileged to choose to serve the Lord. Amen. So, to think that people miss, what I've just explained is unbelievers, they really miss out, don't they? Well, same thing for believers. When we have all these minor details that we're hung up on, we miss out. So practical things. Our ministry wants to help you find the Lord God Almighty and His glory and walk with Him. And if you have not already, enter into this glorious new life which man was born to do. Man was born to know Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit forever. Amen. And so some practical things are things like, I played some worship at the beginning. Just worship the Lord. Just welcome Him into where you are. It doesn't have to be showy. Even if you're around other people, you can be worshiping and praying, even in the spirit, in your prayer language, praying in tongues quietly, Okay, so worship. Okay, then if you praying in tongues, if you don't have that, God, the Holy Spirit can give you that prayer language, and that builds up our spirit person. Some people have explained that it recharges our spiritual battery, and because we are a spirit being, and the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus said, God is spirit. Those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. So we're flowing with Him. And it's wonderful and easy. Famous verse, Ezekiel, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes. So He makes it easy. It's another misconception. It's such a deception. We think that it's in the natural, in our old nature, we think it's hard and it's difficult and it's we have to just strive and we're never going to get there and all these. That's altogether wrong. So what's the answer? Meeting Him. So that's number three, practical. But it's a spiritual thing, meeting the Lord Jesus, the glorious one. When someone meets Him, they naturally will only want Him. Everything else disappears. Everything else is very... we won't want those things that we were, quote-unquote, in love with. Some people... Everyone has a things that they are, kind of in love with, right? With some people, I mean, you could just list many of the things, you know, people are, maybe they're in love with themselves, that in their strength or beauty or intelligence or talent or something like that. Some people, it's sex, drugs, alcohol. Other people, it's just fun. They're just out having fun. You know, let's have fun. Let's party and let's pursue entertainment. For some people, it's leisure. You know, they're into, and nothing wrong with these things. And here's what's interesting. Again, this is important. God offers an eternal celebration. The greatest celebration is His glory. When we meet Him, I want to just keep emphasizing His glory and presence is infinity. Even compared to those hobbies that someone loves, you know, let's say they love, nothing wrong with hobbies. You know, whatever someone's hobby is, I mean, let's say their hobby is a 10 on the 1 to 10 scale. The presence of Jesus is infinity. Like, they probably won't even want to, if someone meets the Lord for real, they probably won't really be interested in those hobbies as much. but again, a practical thing, a great man of God said, when we meet the Lord Jesus, He takes all those things that were our first love and He makes them better. He puts them in their right place, in their right order, and He wants people to have, to enjoy the things that He's created, including hobbies and nature and food and friends and family and all of that. God created sex. God created worship music. He created the music, okay? He created nature, of course. We know that. Glory to God. I kind of want to be practical as well. And I know I'm mixing in the spiritual with the practical, but I wish someone had told me these things, you know, years ago. That's why I'm continuing to proclaim them. And some may say, well, you know, this ministry is saying a lot of the same things. They're over spiritualizing things. There's all this. This ministry is evangelistic and also teaching. And so we want to reach the lost. Please help us do that. We need your prayer. We need financial support. We also want to teach and build up the body of Christ and anyone wherever they are in their walk with Jesus Christ. One more practical thing, but it is you might call it practical spiritual truth, is find your stream in the Holy Spirit, your Father in the Spirit. It might be a man or a woman. And when you find that stream, you're going to be tremendously blessed and find that's your spiritual family, so to speak. Because let's remember, it's the Christian and Catholic Church, all the people who are saved, are more than 2 billion people in terms of stats. I mean, there are so many wonderful, you know, streams and teachers and leaders and pastors and, you know, prophets and apostles and evangelists. Find your stream. Okay, I found mine, and I have that person's teachings and CDs, cassettes, videos, all just books, everything. Okay, and it's been a wonderful blessing. Just the Holy Spirit will reveal these things to you. It's so wonderful to think that Jesus Christ literally offers himself to every person. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. Amen. Amen. That, what a wonderful solution. What a glorious solution. But we see the seriousness of it. Very serious. Eternal, someone's eternal destiny is at stake. And it's about time that I proclaim these things, and, you know, just the full, whatever you want to call it, just the full gospel, okay, which would include, well, the full gospel is the glorious, wonderful gospel that Jesus saves and heals and delivers and infinitely more. Okay. There's also, though, I call it, right now I'm calling it the two sides. The wonderful side, but those who reject the gospel, it's so serious. And I'm just so surprised that I don't hear, of all those wonderful ministries and everything, I don't hear people proclaiming about hell. And I did mention this the other day. I just want to make a point here. We do need to stay balanced in our presentation of the gospel, and really emphasize the wonderful, glorious side much more than the other side. But if you've listened to my messages, you know that I don't like talking about myself or anything about my ministry. I don't even say my name. I'm not trying to push this, but it's fine. It's time for me to say these things. I did see a vision of hell. Okay, I didn't expect that this would happen to me. I didn't want it to happen. I didn't pray for it. When it was happening, it was very scary. That day, I thought I had lost my salvation. I heard the loud wailing of what sounded like a multitude of people. And there's more to this vision, too, that I'm not saying right now. Okay. I wrote a book about hell called Hell 13 Testimonies from a Real Place. It's a very extensive, I feel it's one of the most thorough books about hell. By the way, I also wrote one about heaven that's 33 stories from a real place, which is a very thorough book about heaven. But the one about hell, I feel it's one of the most in-depth books about hell. I'm not trying to, you can get it for free. I'm not trying in any way to promote this book, but I did a full diagram of hell based on what's in A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Baxter, and so forth. And not just that, but the, you know, 13 testimonies, and there's more than all, as many scriptures as we could find about hell, which are in the Bible. There's more than 100. I just counted right now, Jesus spoke about hell 11 times at least in the Gospels, specifically about hell. Okay. But in that, my book about hell, I did not mention my experience. Didn't even mention it. Okay. But this, hopefully this will reveal to someone why I talk about hell. This is so serious. If someone says no to Jesus, that's where they end up. The lake of fire and brimstone, burning sulfur forever. Okay, and also I do want to mention this. As I mentioned, it's very surprising that ministries, ministers, preachers, okay, are not speaking about hell and about how Jesus described it and taught about it and spoke about it. And just repeat, that's all we have to do, is repeat what he said, and also what's, of course, in other places in the Bible, such as specifically in the book of Revelation. Very clear. Moreover, I did mention this the other day, but I saw two ministers who are doing great work. They have big ministries on the internet and books and so forth, and hundreds of thousands of listens and watches of their videos, and one of them has more than 200,000 followers. And when they talked about hell, they did not give the full story. They didn't say what Jesus said. Why would they not do that? You know, I don't know. But one said hell is separation from God. I even went to another video. Again, please know that I'm not judging. I'm making a point here. I went to that minister, preacher's, another video. And he's great, by the way. He's really solid, okay, biblically and scripturally and everything. But I watched another video, and he was saying how, he said, what if hell is when someone just keeps sinning, doing what they were doing on the earth? He says it's separation from God. He said that's the biggest punishment of all. Well, that's not what Jesus said, okay? The other one said that hell is the blackest of darkness forever. His title of that video, it was like a 10-minute video, good teaching, and he did talk about the lake of fire, by the way, in this 10-minute video. But the title of it was, hell is much worse than you think. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe here's a minister. And, you know, after, I don't hear people talking about hell, right? Well, maybe here's one who is. And I watched the whole video, and his deduction of what hell is like is that it's the blackest of darkness forever. Okay, and that's in the Bible, Jude 1:13. Okay, that's great. But he didn't mention all the ways that Jesus spoke about hell, that it's the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He didn't, but he did say this. He spoke about the lake of fire. But what the deduction, if someone watches the video, he emphasizes that for someone who goes to hell, it's the blackest of darkness forever, which is part of it. Okay, yes, that's true. Yes, that's in the Bible. But let's give the full story. You know, let's just, again, I just, as you can tell, I'm very, it's to me, it is frustrating that even ministers, okay, who you would think would simply repeat, you know, what's very clear from the Bible, are kind of dancing around it a little bit and saying other things. But let's just say what it is, okay? And so the point is, you know, that this is the general truth. You know, the famous scripture that says, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, how much more so for the sinner? Well, if ministers with big ministries who are very scriptural and who are dedicated to ministry are not talking about hell, who is? If they're not, well then, most of the church who's in the born-again phase, right? Praise the Lord that they're born again. But they're not in the charismatic Pentecostal. They maybe have not been born of the Spirit. Well, they are not talking about hell, likely, and they will not. Okay, so if all of these ministers are not, who is? I mean, is there any, I mean, this is, you know, now let me say something positive. That's one of the reasons I did the book. Not one of the reasons, but basically there are people who have been to hell and they are proclaiming it for sure. Mary Baxter's book is very, very explicit about hell. The most detailed, actually, description, you know, that's probably available A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Baxter. And there's Bill Weiss and other people who have been to hell are definitely speaking about it. I'm doing what I can. Okay, that maybe it, well, anyway, I know that I'm getting into some pretty serious things, but I wanted to mention this. I have not spoken about this in a while, and glory to God forever that He's offered this wonderful solution, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.